and to find out more on the research findings. So we're privileged to have online with us research fellow with Papua New Guinea National Research Institute Education Research Program, Jeremy Goro. Mr. Goro, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen and listeners.
Okay, first and foremost, what's the purpose of the NRI Spotlight Volume 14, Issue 1? Which, of course, I would assume is your research paper. Hello, you there?
Yeah, I can't hear you properly. This is the time.
Okay, sorry, let me boost up. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry about that. What is the purpose of the NRI Spotlight, Volume 14, Issue 1, which I would assume is your research paper?
Yes, Stephen. The Spotlight article, Volume 14, Issue 1, is titled "The Budget Card Has the Potential to Impact Access and Retention in Basic Education." Basically, the purpose of the paper is to inform our government and inform the public about the potential impacts it will have on basic education. Now, basically, we found out that it will have impact on the enrollment of students, retention, and especially the participation of girls in basic education. So this the cut of the tuition fee. Free will have adverse impact on those, as well as the policy is not good. It's not bad, but it is good. We are also trying to highlight how they can review the management system of the TFF instead of cutting down the budget.
All right. So what are the main focus areas regarding the budget cut on TFF by the government?
Now, the issue here is, since 2012, when O'Neill government formed, the parents were paying 100. The government was paying 100% fees, and the parents only supported with project fees in some schools. And most schools, since 2014, the department and the government insisted parents would not pay anything. So there was 100%. School fees paid by the government until recently in 2019 the new government replaced TFF with what it is now called Government Tuition Fee Support or Subsidy, GTFS, and parents are expected to pay 36% while government will pay 63.4%. Now this reduction is of 36.6% is a big amount for the parents to pay. So we feel that paying 36.6% will lead to a significant reduction in the school enrollment, will decrease retention, as what we have seen. But let's go back to 2012 to 2018. Now, before 2012, there was a problem of enrollment in school. There was not enough children in school. And those children who enrolled, they were not able to finish school, basic education at year 8 or year 12. But when the TFF policy came in, we were able to see many students passing from prep to grade 12. Now, without having to look at quality, what the TFF does is having more students accessing basic education up to year 12. Now, that has the potential to decrease or increase human capital development in the long term and reduce literacy rate in the long term, in the short, medium, long term.
Mm.
Now, and what it does, the TFF does for our country is it encourages more girls to be enrolled in school, and more girls were able to finish in school comparing to the years before 2012.
Yeah. Look, I know you've highlighted three specific things there, and you've just talked a little bit about a couple of them, enrollment, retention, and girls' participation in basic education, and as you're explaining your paper. So specifically on enrollment, what are some of your thoughts around there? And then we'll go to retention, and then, of course, girls' participation in basic education.
Yes. Enrollment at this stage, we have not done a survey to find out how many children are in school right at the moment, but from 2012 to 2018, there was a big increase in the enrollment. I think it was 104% for general enrollment, and I think in net admission ratio was about 70-80%. So that was a big increase in the enrollment comparing to those years where parents will have to pay fees. Now, Stephen, in Papua New Guinea, we know that one family has three or four children in school. Now, when we ask them to pay fees, the parents will have to make some crucial decision who to keep in school and who to remove them from school. So that will have a net impact in the family and also in the school enrollment.
Okay, and what about retention? When we talk about retention, it's about the staying in school, correct?
Yes, retention is basically we are following on to a child who enrolls now at prep, and that child continues to complete a basic education of grade 8 or continues to grade 12. So that is retention. So the child is retained in school from prep for the next 8 years or 13 years going to grade 12. So that's the retention rate. But, you know, retention, we're talking about the life of a child from a child to a teenager. So that is important to monitor and to control, because we want to see as many people as we can to finish at a basic education so that we can have more children, more people who are literate, that will lead them to live some kind of successful life. You know, not doesn't necessarily have to have a paid employment, but, you know, making use of their skills and self-employment and self-sustenance, like, you know, most people are now resorting to.
Yeah, well, isn't it? The basic thing about education is development as well.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about girls' participation in basic education, and you know, in general, girls somewhat have been marginalized in such practices. How does this particular exercise affect them? Of course, the budget cut.
Normally, in most cases, when parents have to make decision for a boy or a girl to be in school, most parents will now tend to have a boy. Have a boy in school than a girl. But when we have TFF, that gender parity gap or index has significantly reduced. So that means that more girls are now in school with TFF. Now, coming back to removing TFF and asking now parents to pay 37%, that will now have a reverse impact on the gender parity index. Mm. So more girls are now likely to be withdrawn from school, because if a parent has to pay six school fees for six children or five children, and among them the three girls and two boys or three boys, the three boys are likely to stay in school plus one girl, so two girls will be withdrawn. But that does not, you know, generally apply to all Papua New Guineans, but in some societies in Papua New Guinea, especially in the Highlands region. Now, we did a gender retention studies in 2014. Mm. We also found out that most girls in the Highlands regions are held back once they reach teenage, or once the parents find difficult to pay school fees or other necessary things, the parents tend to withdraw a girl than a boy. So that will have a net negative impact on the gender parity index.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's to do with cultural obligations and the norm, you know, especially in Papua New Guinean societies. If you've just tuned in to our Morning True program, we're talking to Jeremy Goro. Now, Jeremy is a researcher with the National Research Institute. He's got a Master's of Education specializing in research and pedagogy from the University of Newcastle in New South Wales. And, of course, his research interest areas include education and curriculum reforms and understanding issues in higher education. He's recently, of course, put out a paper in the Spotlight article. And, of course, it's all about PNG tuition fee-free budgets creating more drawbacks. Okay, Mr. Gorev, let's go back to some of the issues around tuition fee-free policy and ever since it started. I had a few questions of my own, and thank you. And I'm sure that if I do get a chance, I'll also do a read-up on your paper as well. When we go back to tuition fee-free education, shouldn't the planning phase take into account the number of schools and the institutions to the number of students, population growth, ratio of growth, to what is available? Because as in development aspects, you would understand that, governments can come in and say, look, we've got this policy, but we've got to make policies work that are realistic, that are probable, that are practical.
Yes, yes.
So shouldn't the planning phase have been taken into account as to the number of schools? Because once you're going to open up tuition fee-free education, as you've said, almost yep. anybody and everybody will go into it. And then to draw it back or minimize it, you're going to definitely have some issues. So what are your thoughts about that as a researcher?
These management issues and policy issues, that one of the evidence we saw when TFF was introduced, we have a lot of overage children in school. And that itself creates more problems.
So you're saying there should be a criteria?
There should be a basic policy administration in schools and by the department to restrict, you know, when you talk about basic education enrollment that by law, the required age of enrollment is 6 years.
Mm.
Okay, one way to control number of enrollment in school is to basically go by the criteria, by policy.
Yeah.
Enroll who is supposed to enroll in school, and those who have finished school earlier or they didn't get an offer to proceed to the next stage, they can go to alternate pathways like TVET or to FOP. Mm.
Yeah.
Instead of having trying to put all of them into the same basket, like, you know, those who have finished grade 7 earlier, they come back to grade 7 again, or those who finished grade 10 some time ago, they come back to grade 9. That creates a problem. But, you know, planning is very important, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
We currently have a population growth rate,
yeah.
and study NSO can provide a guesstimate of the number of children, you know, can go to
yeah.
Department of Health to get a rate of fertility. And we can already plan ahead that by that 2021 or 2022, we will have that number of children eligible for school. So this is the kind of planning we need to have.
Yeah. And thank you for highlighting that, Jeremy. I think that was my next line of questioning. The importance of data collation through the census exercise, which we understand is going to happen this year or supposed to be happening this year. And the mindset of our people, as you said, when you're going to say something is actually free, of course, anybody and everybody will want to say, well, how can I be part of that? But once again, you know, this is where informed policy-making decisions have to be made. And, of course, always the data, the numbers will tell a story.
Yep.
The numbers will always tell a story. So through the usage of that number, then you can plan effectively. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Census is a very important exercise every 10 years. And we also have, you know, up-to-date life data coming from the Department of Health and also coming from Department of Education, because Department of Education, I think it does 4 returns annually. So the data is almost accurate as any data. And Department of Health, I think through the birth registry and through the number of deaths and all this, they can update those data on time. And for planning, data is very important. Now, we seem to work in isolation, so that's why, you know, the department need to now have a cross-sectoral approach so that one department can rely on data from the other department. They can make, you know, help. Let's not planning to make their plans properly.
And I mean, ideally, that's what the departments are there for. And of course, good people like yourself who do go into the research, you know, the research helps formulate the policies and workable policies, as we're talking about. I know we're sort of moving away a little bit from the education space, and I know from your paper, but just a few other things, just so that, you know, we understand how it all affects other things that are happening around us right now. You and I both know that budget priorities change constantly. And of course, when governments, you know, different governments come into power, and of course, the consistency of some of these policies. While it's a great, it is a great, you know, idea, a tuition fee free education. The other aspect that I'm concerned about is the reality of the economy being able to sustain the cost. Okay, so you know, in recent times we have natural or man-made disasters. Sometimes we've been reliant on the price of the extractive industry, in gold, copper, natural gas. Then, of course, on top of all of that, we've got a global health pandemic like COVID-19. These are all so many other factors that are coming into this. So the reality is, does the PNG economy have the ability to sustain a tuition fee-free policy? Just a general question to you.
Yeah, that question is very, and it's a challenging question. Does PNG, as a small economy, sustain TFF? Yeah, because the price of goods are rising every now and then. So the sustenance of TFF is another one. But I would like to suggest that if government has to cut TFF, I think it has to be gradual. And I would like to think that 36.6, the cut of 36% is a little bit too much at a time of difficult time like this, when COVID-19 is striking everyone. And I think we have to relax a little bit so that we allow the children to continue to have access to education.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, that is what your paper is so important. Understanding the issues that happen with the, it's like a cause and effect. When you start reducing, well, first and foremost, when you start promising something and then all of a sudden you've got to cut back on it, it's definitely going to create a lot of issues.
Yes.
Just one other thing, I know you're a researcher, I'm a broadcaster, but I'd like to think sometimes it gives a sense of false pretense, and especially around, if I would even go as far as saying, you know, is it a political gimmick if these policies change or are altered with changes in government, or is it just so that politicians out there can get, their constituents voting for them, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And you know, when there's a policy change, the source or the people who change is always the politicians, really.
Well, they are the lawmakers, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the policy makers and lawmakers, and they do at their level, but, you know, the impact is felt by everyone.
Very true. So that's why we need good people like yourself and the other people who continue to do research into an important sector like education, to come up with very good policies to present to government or those advisors to government making those policies so that they work for all of us. So, Jeremy, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Stephen.
And I wish you all the best in some of your other research that you might have coming up soon. In fact, my producer and I will be looking forward to some more, especially around education.
Yes, thank you, Stephen. The paper is aims to inform people around the impact of the TFF cut, and we also believe that it is important for the government to review the TFF cut so that it can accommodate access, retention, and especially gender parity index in basic education.
Just one last one before I let you go, as we normally do with our friends from the NRI. If the public who are listening, how can they access your paper? If it's through a website, or maybe they can call you?
Yeah, when we publish our paper, it goes through all the social media platforms. It goes to NRA website, and people react and comment right on the site. to access the paper, they can go direct to NRI and access the paper on our website. It's under the publications and under our spotlight.
Appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you very much. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Stephen, and you, Ava, and listeners, and have a good morning, too.